the Rise Up See Red podcast, all about the Arizona Cardinals and the NFL, featuring insider and outsider perspectives. Enjoy the best hour of Cardinals talk on the web. Now here are your hosts, Jess Root and Seth Cox.
Hello, Arizona Cardinals fans, and welcome to the latest edition of the Rise Up See Red podcast. I'm your host, Jess Root, from CardsWire.com, the NFL Wire Arizona Cardinals site from USA Today. My co-host is Seth Cox from RevengeOfTheBirds.com, the SB Nation Arizona Cardinals site, and also one of the hosts of the original Draft Breakdown podcast, which is becoming ever so relevant because the Arizona Cardinals season was over and now is destroyed. As in the show 385, episode 385, we not only will be talking about another loss, another home loss, Monday Night Football to the New England Patriots, but the absolute worst thing that could happen did, and that was a major injury to quarterback Kyler Murray, third play of the game, tears his ACL, ending his season and putting the start of next season in jeopardy. So, yeah. So that this is not your highly optimistic show. It's just kind of what we're kind of known for. There's nothing, literally nothing, left to look forward to in this season. And so what we're going to talk about in this show, we're going to react to the Kyler Murray injury. What is the impact now and the offseason? We'll talk about what happened, what went wrong against the Pats, if there was any bright spots. Is there anything left to be excited for? And then we'll look ahead to their Week 15 game against the Denver Broncos, which looks like it could be a thrilling matchup between Colt McCoy and Brett Rypien. Who thought?
I'm very excited. I don't know what you guys are talking about.
All right, let's go ahead and get started. Seth,
Do you have the funeral music playing in the background, by the way?
I mean, we might as well. So the Cardinals were mathematically eliminated from the division with the 49ers winning with Brock Purdy. Oh my gosh. Jeez, I don't get it. I don't get anything about the NFL right now, but the San Francisco 49ers look unstoppable right now. You know, the 35-7 win over the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and they did it with Brock Purdy at quarterback, and because Jimmy Garoppolo is done. And then Seattle Seahawks lost to the Carolina Panthers, and now Steve Wilks in his interim gig there with the Panthers has now won more games in half a season than he did in an entire season in his official head coaching job here in Arizona. And he's got that Carolina team playing well right now. He's the defense playing the way they want it to. And even with a quarterback like Sam Darnold, they're winning games. And so the San Francisco 49ers, if they win this week, they might act. I didn't look at the mathematics. I think they officially will clinch the division with the win over Seattle this week, I think, because they will be up three games with three games to go. And would have the season sweep. Yeah, so they would clinch the division if they beat the Seahawks this week. I'm almost certain.
Yeah, and I mean it's not surprising. I mean it's upsetting that the 49ers have built such a strong roster that they can compete at such a high level with their third string quarterback. And it's not so much, a shot at Jimmy Garoppolo. He's still one of the probably, 20, maybe even 15 best quarterbacks in the NFL. But to see them be able to nurture and play Purdy like they are, and then you see kind of what's going on in Arizona where, Kyler Murray gets injured. You expect this team to be able to compete with Colt McCoy, and they lead 13-10 at half, and then the wheels come off.
The wheels fall off.
It was almost a beautiful portrait of what this season has been. Right, like you get the oh crap start with the Murray injury. Obviously it's much worse than the beginning of the season was for the Cardinals, but you get the oh crap start and then you're like, okay, they have some life. You're watching this
and then you're like, vomit on the field.
Yeah, and it's like you get outscored 17-0.
20 unanswered points you gave up to that offense.
Yeah, that offense. And it did start in the first half, right? Like, and I know Tim Ring and other guys are like, why not just kick the field goal? Well, Matt Prater badly missed on
right.
the
50-yard goal. Like his last two kicks from 49 to 50 yards, missed them both.
Yeah, and so they're thinking to themselves, like, you know what, we probably need to just go for it, try to get a little closer. He hasn't been accurate from that. And man, give it to Cliff. Like, this guy, he called two plays in a row and three different players made mistakes. I mean, the first one, Trey McBride and Steven Anderson just decide not to block the best defensive player on the Patriots. It's like, hey, guys, if you're going to block anybody, block Matthew Judon. Like, anybody. Like, just block him. I mean, whatever the situation, it's probably best to block that guy. And neither did. And you know, they get a stop. So now it's fourth and one. And
the play was there. I mean, the play was there. The play was there.
And it was probably one of the easiest passes Colt could have thrown all night. And he just didn't hit it. And that's the thing is, like, again, that's a microcosm of like the Cliff Kingsbury situation. It's like,
and he was, I don't know if you caught it on the television. You don't always see Cliff Kingsbury, but like
reacts that way.
It was a very visible F-bomb on television when they showed the reaction to that. Cause like the dude wants to win and he's got, if you look at it on those failed fourth down stuff we've had all season, the plays have been there. Now, granted, the one against the Chargers, that was just a fantastic defensive. That was that safety. Oh, I forget his name now. It's a name. Billy Gilman read that play perfectly. It's almost that play against the Chargers when they broke up that fourth down play. That's almost nearly an impossible play to stop because of just the way it's designed, and Gilman just, he knew it was coming. You know, that little pass in the flat to McBride, then on the other one they called when Hollywood just drops the ball. And that's, you know, there's been a couple times this year when, you know, Hollywood has had when he's been healthy, he's been fantastic this season. But Ravens fans and fans in the AFC North will tell you that that is Hollywood as well. He does drop the ball when, like, he has the cat, he has the hands and the ability to be a legit number one, but there are some times you're just going to be like, oh. And that's happened twice this year on fourth down, and then you had the one that he would have had a touchdown. And it's just, when Kyler went down, so let's go back to the topic of the Kyler injury, and it's just, it's just so bad, because the initial thing is like, you see him running, there's so much hope you have for this game, because, and I did, especially, I felt that this was the perfect game for the Cardinals to upset the Patriots, because they looked like they got some rhythm offensively against the Chargers. You're like, okay, they look like a competent team again. And this Patriots defense was, they haven't beat a team that scored 20 points. They haven't won a game that when their opponent scored more than 17 points. And I felt that the Cardinals had, you know, if the Cardinals had a little rhythm, you'd see early on, and you're like, yeah, the Cardinals go in this game, because the Patriots in their six losses have given up 29 points a game. They've struggled against mobile quarterbacks like Justin Fields and Lamar Jackson. And then to see Kyler, well, the first two plays, you've got a 9-yard reception and a 6-yard run. And then Kyler blows out his knee, and literally everyone in the press box and probably everyone in the stadium knew what happened immediately, because it wasn't the exact type of thing, but when Odell Beckham went down to the Super Bowl, you're like, done, the season's over. Like, the season was already over, and then the one thing you couldn't have happened. It's just,
well, and you know, to your point too, like, everybody started to kind of change their mind this week. The money coming in on the Arizona Cardinals was heavy. The line went from 2.5 to 1 before the game. And people just thought exactly what you're saying. They've struggled. I mean, they got torn apart by Justin Fields. They struggled, you know, with mobile quarterbacks. And now you've got Kyler Murray, who's coming off a bye, assumingly more healthy than he has been. And then, you know, the wind out of the sails. And, you know, that was, I think that's the most disappointing aspect of the loss yesterday, was they regrouped a little bit. I mean, Matt Prater misses a field goal. Okay, whatever. And they still regrouped, and they still had a 13-7 lead, and they had a chance to go up, you know, 2 scores before the half. And they just can't get out of their own way. Like you're saying, like
all year. This has been a thing with the Cardinals just this year, like the calendar year. The 2022 calendar year has just been hot garbage for this team, dating all the way back to the playoff loss, followed by the report from Chris Mortensen about Kyler Murray. And then it's just there's been something in the way of everything this year.
Yeah, and they just can't, like you said, they can't get out of their own way a lot of the time. And that just makes it tough. So, you know, it just comes back to figuring out what you're going to do and what you're going to see as positives. And like you said, you were looking forward to the end of the season in the sense of like, okay, we're finally going to see, I mean, Zach Ertz is out for the year, but you're finally going to see everybody else, right? You're finally going to see DeAndre and Marquise and James. And even, I mean, let's be honest, as much as we hate losing Zach, we were excited to see what Trey McBride could do, right? Josh Jones had been playing really well at left tackle. And so you're just looking at the potential positives with an eye on the low, 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 low chance that they could still make the playoffs. And
mathematically, they're not out yet, but they will be after this week.
Right.
But not, it will be not just, basically no matter what, they will be out this week.
And not just that, but like you look at, like you said, the wind coming out of the sails of the team, the building, and just like, it makes the end of the season, which is already hard enough when you're a team that's struggling, it makes the end of the season tough, because realistically now you're looking at it and you're going, what do I have to look forward to with this team? And that is what is difficult, because you don't, that being that franchise sucks. And you and I know this because we've covered those teams specifically, you know, 2018, but even go back to the end of the Wizenhunt era. Like, you look at it and you're like, I don't know what to look forward to, because even like the Wilkes year, you were like, okay, let's see what Josh Rosen has,
right?
And this isn't a shot at Colt McCoy. Like, we are, let's be honest, we as fans are fortunate to have somebody as good as Colt McCoy to play out the rest of the season. But the reality is, you know what Colt McCoy is.
Right.
He's a 36-year-old journeyman, sub-500 quarterback.
There's somebody on your site that's got to be excited about right?
Right. And you know, you just look at it from that perspective and you go, you know what you have, you know what he is, and there's nothing wrong with that. But like, you also know that You're not going
anywhere with him long term.
Like, no, not long term.
He can tide you over till your starter's back. But once Colt, you're the guy for the rest of the season. The season's done. The season's done. And you know, Colt is really good. I actually respect the crap out of him. Because one thing he does really well. And Kyler doesn't do it as well. Colt does what a lot of classic quarterbacks will do. Carson did it. He will very quickly blame himself. instead of talking about as a team, we just didn't do this. And then they could point the finger at me. Of course we can point the finger at you. You're a backup quarterback who plays rarely. I mean, it's easy to do that. It's easy to do. Nobody's criticizing Colt. But it just the initial it just, if anything else, the reaction to when the injury happens is, you got to be kidding me. This now? That's right. Basically like everyone within the Red Sea Bird Gang, Bird City Football, whatever's happening. But the reaction had to have been not something else, and then not this. This is literally the absolute worst thing that could have happened this year, and it happened late in the year. It's just, of all the terrible, crappy things that Cardinals fans have had to endure in 2022, December 12th just was a kick in the nuts again.
Well, and not only that, but you think about, you know, all the times that we've watched this franchise, and bad things have happened, right? From the Kevin Cobb getting injured when they're rolling at 4-0, right? To Carson Palmer blowing out his knee, and they were 9-0 at that point, or 9-1, whatever it was, and you just you're thinking to yourself, you know, well, you know, this season sucks, 1000%. The season sucks, but you know, it can always get worse, and at least there's no major injuries, and then literally,
and Zach Ertz goes down,
yeah,
and Kyler Murray goes down. Zach Allen breaks his hand. Come on. Come on. What is this? You know, DJ Humphrey's back injury, Byron Murphy's back injury.
Well, and now you're looking at things and you're going, well, there's no reason Murph should play again, right? Like this year. Like, and you're not,
you know, there is a reason why Murph should play. His contract.
Yeah, I mean, but I agree, but to the point also that it's like,
I mean, he couldn't play unless his back is right. But to come, like, I think it'll be important if he can get back. You know, back injuries, especially backers, are tricky. Is you want to see him come back in the last game or two, play well, but to show that his back isn't an issue, and then going into the offseason when he's going to be a free agent after he's had a fantastic season until the injury. But geez, just this, you know. What do we need to do as Cardinals fans? We've endured, like, is it bad enough that we've had to endure what we've had to endure as Cardinals fans as long as we've had? Never anything to really look forward to. And then when we do have something to look forward to, it's a major letdown. And when there's a surprise, then there's another letdown. And now we finally have a quarterback and some excitement last year. Then this year the wheels fall off, and then to lose the quarterback. And I will say this. Good on Kyler and his agent for getting him paid, because that would have been contentious this offseason.
Oh, man. And
that would have been so, so contentious this offseason if you were coming off that. Yeah. So it's fantastic. That's exactly why that the Cardinals, this is exactly why Kyler and his agent needed to get him paid. You know, that fans will think, well, of course. I'll say this. Anyone who questions the heart of Kyler Murray, you know, he does come across a little gruff and aloof sometime, but there's, you cannot question his competitive desire. The dude wants to play, and he wants to play football, and he wants to win, you know.
In the worst way possible.
In the worst way possible. And he just experienced, honestly, the worst experience of his entire athletic career. There are very few things that, as especially as masculine, hyper-athletic men, they are not a group of guys that will cry. Really, just go across the board. I myself am not really a crier. I'm a 45-year-old man. There's very few things in life that will cause me to sob. Kyler Murray sobbing as he leaves the field because of how badly he wants to play. It'd be one thing, because like, he got paid. He got paid. He has all the money. He's going to get tons of money. If this were a dude who didn't care, he wouldn't care.
No.
Everyone needs to stop questioning Kyler Murray's heart. You can question the performance on the field, the body language, but there is no question about anyone. He wants to win. He wants to play, and he wants to succeed. He wants to be there on the field with his teammates. This is crushing for him.
Right, and he's a guy that lives to compete, and now he just doesn't get to. And so it'll be interesting to see how this plays out, you know, and the rehab and things of that nature, because, you know, I wrote about it today, and I, you know, pull back the curtain just a little bit about Jess and I's life, and I work in healthcare, and so I'm fortunate enough to be at work today, and on the work computers, we have access to a lot of online medical journals, and I was able to look up some really interesting stats on.
Let's do that next. Let's do that next, because that talks more of the impact now on the octave next. So coming up next on the Rise Up Secret podcast, the best of Cardinals talk on the web. What is the impact now, and what is the impact moving forward for this offseason with the Kyler Murray injury? That's coming up next on Rise Up Secret. We're back on the Rise Up Secret podcast, the best of Cardinals talk on the web. So, obviously, the initial impact is now the Cardinals have 4 games left in the season and no Kyler Murray. And really, can we expect them to win another game this year?
I mean, this is the week.
You're right. This might be the week, but give us that data that you found. So, this is the impact moving forward, and this is really... This is not news that you want to hear, except for the quarterback data. It's ACL injuries are, even though more and more players can come back, there are long-term effects.
Yeah, and it's, you know, and that was the thing, is like, I didn't realize this straight up, and, you know, because, and Jess, you know, Jess and I talking about this off the air made a great point. It's like, most of these guys' ACL injuries, we just don't even know about, right? Like, so this is from, Sage Journals, which is a medical journal, but they did a study of players that underwent ACL repair. So, from 2013 to 2018. And then they collected their information, you know, 3 years before and then after the injury to see kind of what it looked like. So of 312 NFL players that were injured or underwent ACL repairs, only 174 returned to play. So just under 56%. Of those players, only 28.5 remained in the league 3 years post-injury. And in those 3 years post-injury, they played fewer games, started fewer games, had lower career average value, which is a pro football reference metric, and had decreased snap counts. However, quarterbacks were the most likely to return to play and had superior post-injury performance compared with every other position. So, if there is a silver lining, it is that quarterbacks, more than any other position, not only return to play, 93% return to play, but most of them perform better post-injury comparatively to any other position. So, most of them either regain or go above their own past performance. So that's good. The other thing to look at is time. So the mean standard differentiation return to play time was 12.4 months. So 12.4 would basically indicate he will not play in 2023, plus or minus 2.5 months. So basically you're looking at 10 to 15 months recovery. 10 months being the best case scenario and 15 months the worst case scenario. So those are, and obviously this is the average. So you can't, you know, say it works for everybody, but this is the average, 12.4 months with, you know, a plus 2.5 plus or minus 2.5 month deviation. So let's say it's best case scenario, 10 months. Jameson Williams of the Detroit Lions played his first game since the college football playoffs. That's been 11 months.
And you go to the Carson, like I'll make a reference to quarterbacks. And if we recall Carson Palmer, it was week 11 when he tore his ACL in 2014. And he was full bore ready to go and through training camp. Now, granted, quarterbacks are a different breed when it comes to participating in training camp because you can't touch him. But he was full go ready to go for the 2015 season. And so you're talking now it's a month later. Carson had gone through a torn ACL before, so knew exactly how his body would respond.
The one he tore, I don't remember.
It was the same one, I believe.
It was the cadaver had basically given out at that point.
Yes, it was the same one. He knew exactly how it would feel to recover. He knew exactly how to attack it. He had done it before, and he was ready for the season. The problem week 14. Week 14 means even if he recovers at the same rate, if he can come back at the same rate that Carson Palmer did, he's missing the first 4 weeks of the year, or he is very, you have to be very careful with him the first 4 weeks of the year. And it means no off-season work, no off-season program, because it's all rehab, no training camp reps. And so you're looking at least the first month of the season. And this comes the other part. He's a mobile quarterback whose game also involves running. So it isn't like he's just a quarterback. He will also have some of the impact of like the other athlete type thing, because he's got to be able to come back and be able to do what Kyler does.
Right. Well, he's got to feel like he can move like he did. And that, and you see that with like you said, like a Jameson Williams time frame. You know, it's very rare to see an Adrian Peterson freak of nature.
And Adrian Peterson was absolutely a freak.
Yeah. And it's just rare to see that for them to come back and play at not just a high level, but like a generational level, because I think that was the year he ran for 2,000 yards.
It was stupid good.
And it was only eight months post rehab. So like that's, people go, well, you know, Adrian Peterson did it. And it's like, yeah, and there's one Adrian Peterson in the history of the NFL. And
right.
That's
and have you seen Adrian Peterson's career? He was an anomaly when it came to physical ability.
And so that's what you have to kind of look at this as, is that the standard is going to be probably, I'm going to guess, 10 months. 10 months.
Right. Dennis Gardeck was kind of on the same arc as well, because it might have been week 14, week 15 when he hurt his knee against the Eagles. And he was, granted, not the same level of athlete. It took over half the season to get him kind of there.
Well, and that's the thing, is you look at a guy, I mean, we've seen it with other guys too. You look at a guy like Tyrann Mathieu, it took him almost two full years to feel comfortable playing again. Remember, he had to go through the brace. He had to, you know.
Yeah, and then last year when he was with Arizona, he looked like just a guy. Now, he fully recovered and became a superstar again, but there was a reason why the Cardinals cut him when they did, is because the previous year, there wasn't nothing special about what Mathieu was doing, even like the full year after his injury.
Yeah, and so like that's the whole thing. So let me ask you this, because I think this is a fair question, and I'm putting you on the spot a little bit, but doesn't this kind of change if they're going to fire everybody? Because now all of a sudden you're not going to have the Kyler Murray chip, because one, you don't know when he'll be back, and you don't know what he's going to look like coming back, which is a fair thing. I mean, 93% is a really high number, but there's still 7% that don't come back at the same level.
And when you look at, now granted, was this not the same level of injury as far as we know? Robert Griffin, after his knee injury, was never the same.
No.
Never the same.
And so you have that, right? And so you have that, you know, 7% that's out there. But let's just say, okay, he's going to be back. Let's say it's October, November, and he's going to be playing at the level that we expect. As a head coach, are you really willing to throw or go into it knowing that it's going to be halfway through the season? I mean, this isn't trading for Deshaun Watson knowing he's going to be suspended for 11 games because you already have the coach in place in Kevin Stefanski. We're talking about, like, if you move on from Cliff, what coach is going to want to be like, yeah, I'll take that risk? That's my biggest question.
You know, and maybe we all felt, I think we all have felt that probably they weren't going to change anything. They weren't going to fire anyone. One, because they weren't going to fire Keim. And two, why would Keim fire Kingsbury when it's Keim's roster that he's been doing? And now it's like, with this happening, I think it makes it much more understandable why you wouldn't do it. Because you bring in a new head coach, new scheme. Now your starting quarterback, your Kyler, doesn't get any reps in the offseason. So if next year's going to be a kind of throwaway year, you can see if they finish the year strong to determine, okay, this is going the right direction, or you get Kyler fully healthy and then you could pull the plug, and you know, then you've gotten at least another year out of Cliff's contract to do that. And I think it makes it almost, I think it makes it almost nearly impossible, or the almost 0% chance that they now fire people as a result of this season, because of, you know, all the stuff that happened before now, and now on top of that, now Kyler gets hurt. How can you blame Cliff Kingsbury for any of that? For seeing, you know, 9 different starting offensive lines, you know, the DeAndre Hopkins suspension, the Marquise Brown injury immediately, like the play before Hopkins comes back, the Zach Ertz deal, the back injuries of DJ Humphries, and then just everything that's happened. It's been one thing after another, and I think it means moving forward is that we're going to get another year of Keim and Kingsbury, that Keim is going, that that's going to be the dilemma. What do they do with this obstacle now? Because they won't bring in someone new to clean up a mess that they don't know what the mess exactly is going to be.
Well, and so let me tell you this too, and I know everybody's going to laugh at me, and that's fine, because I'll probably, I mean, I could end up being wrong. But doesn't this kind of, I don't want to say excite because that's the wrong word, but doesn't this put Keim in a pressure position that he hasn't been in before? Because now all of a sudden you have to build better because you don't have Kyler that can bail you out. Like, Kyler bailed them out of a lot of things, and we're seeing how much he did. I mean, look at, and I'm not trying to pick on Colt McCoy, but look at Colt McCoy's last two starts against the 49ers and the Patriots. And I know he didn't start against the Patriots, but he basically started, versus what Kyler did. Yes, and I know they lost to the Chargers, but the difference in just competitiveness and being in the game is just so night and day, where, you know, Colt's going to be able to compete with the dregs of the league right now, you know, which ironically the Rams are one of, but he's not a guy that's going to compete with playoff level teams. And we've seen that. Whereas Kyler, yeah, you'd prefer them to have won that Chargers game. It would have been much better, but he had them in the game. when Colt played the last two games, there wasn't any in the game or blew it at the end. There was like, holy crap, this got ugly. This got sideways really quick. And so that's going to be Keim's task. And to your point, no GM wants to come in and take that task, right? Because part of cleaning things up is knowing what you have or don't have at the quarterback position. And because of the contract with Kyler, there's a next to zero chance that he's not the quarterback as soon as he's healthy and we see what he has left. So again, what GM or head coach is going to want to come in and say, yeah, I'll take that on, because you don't even know what he has or what abilities he's going to have. You know, we just don't know. So right now it almost is like it could benefit Cliff and Keim, because it's like, okay, for the next, you know, for the next 10 months until October or November, create a team that can compete without Kyler. Even if you're, you know, like the Browns or anything like that, just compete for 10 months. And then when Kyler gets back, then it should open up things and you should be able to go to the next level. And that's what you want more than anything, because it just hasn't happened.
Coming up next on the Rise Up Sea Red podcast, the Bizarre Cardinals Talk on the Web. Let's talk about the game against the Patriots. What went wrong and were there any bright spots at all? That's coming up next on Rise Up Sea Red. We're back on the Rise of Sea Red podcast, the best of Cardinals Talk on the Web. Cardinals lose 20-7-13. There was a lot that went wrong in that game. I'm gonna basically, it comes down to one critical thing, is that when Kyler went down, it made it that they needed other people to step up. And then what ended up happening is their best players, or the ones they needed to rely on the most, failed to come through, starting with Matt Prater missing that field goal. Okay, so he misses the field goal, Cliff Kingsbury lost trust in him, because it was two straight field goals, because he missed the 49-yarder against the Chargers, which was, if we go back to it, the difference in the game, and then missed the 50-yarder. When we've seen out of Matt Prater has been with, you know, Andy Lee's the holder and Aaron Brewer's the snapper. Guess what? He's been nails. Suddenly he's maybe he's washed. Maybe we finally hit that point with him after that hip injury, that, you know, he finally hit his NFL mortality or whatever it is. He misses a field goal. Marquise Brown. Hollywood Brown has a fourth down drop on a play. It would have been a great play. It's not an easy one, but when a guy that you envision being potentially a number one receiver has to be able to make that play on fourth down in the worst way. DeAndre Hopkins fumbles the ball. You can't have that happen. So when you need your best players playing their best, when you lose another key player, and nobody stepped up to make plays after Kyler went down. And that came down to ultimately like that. And then after the failed fourth down, then the things just got out of hand. They gave up they had that 13-7 lead, then gave up the two field goals to tie the game. They gave up 20 unanswered points, and so they stopped making plays, they fell behind, then the offensive line couldn't do a dang thing. Colt McCoy got sacked six times. The interception was terrible. The Hopkins fumble was terrible. And it just basically nobody made a play after that. And then the time that they did get a play, replay review hates Zaven Collins, I'm convinced.
Right.
Because neither one of those, so both of those interceptions were overturned by the smallest margins, and I still can't believe that was on either of those plays, against the Chargers and then against the Patriots, how either one of those could be overturned. But still.
No, and that's, it made it tough, but like you look at it, I think for me, there was a couple bright spots. I think the first one's Trey McBride. You mentioned, you know, he was open on that that fourth down play, and unfortunately that was like, I mean, that's one Colt usually hits, so it was kind of interesting that he missed that one.
Great play by the defender to get his arm up. Like that was still a great defensive play, but that was a play that Colt should have done. Trey McBride, also the best play we've seen from that kid all year, when he just absolutely got blown up and held onto the football on that 15-yard play.
And then I thought, Robbie Anderson? I mean, really? That's what we've been waiting for, right? And,
yes.
And then James Conner continues to, like, do you think Conner was banged up at the beginning of the year?
It's got to be the case. Or maybe is that, as now we see, you know, Benjamin getting cut from the Texans, that perhaps the desire, they maybe Cliff was trying a little too hard to recreate Edmonds Conner from last year with Benjamin, right, because of how well he'd done in the offseason, and the lack of work with Conner early on never got him into rhythm.
Yeah, and that could be it. You could be right about that. So, yeah, so, you know, it was just, you know, and I know.
Zaven playing extremely well as well.
I was going to say the linebackers have improved. I really like to get some clarification, is probably the wrong word. I'd love to schematically understand what happened on that deep throw to Hunter Henry, because it looked like they were in cover three. And now I'm just going to talk football for a second. Sorry. It looked like they were in cover three, and it should have either been cover four, which means four guys drop into that, or, you know, cover three means there's three zones. You have the corners and then the safety has the middle. So it's, you just divide the field into thirds. Cover four would mean that another guy, which I would assumed was Buddha over the slot guy on the offensive left in that situation, would have dropped. And that would allow Jalen to go over and play in that other quarter. So you divide it into fours, have four guys in that. And then you had Ben Neiman and Isaiah playing short underneath. And then you had Zaven blitz. So that's what it looked like it should have been. I don't know if it was Isaiah that should have run the seam, or Buddha should have run the seam and let Jalen come over the top. But somebody missed a call somewhere, because there's no way you'd run cover three on that and just blitz one guy. So, like, I'd love to get, because I don't think Isaiah made the mistake, but, you know, again, we won't ever know. And so, like, that's the only way to figure it out, is to get that information. You know, and ironically, is even though he had probably his worst game as a starter, I wasn't overly upset with Josh Jones's performance. It wasn't good by any means, but you got to remember that Josh Uche and
Uche is coming on like crazy. His last few games have been nothing short of scary good.
Yeah, dynamic, like super good. And Jones was moving people. I thought this was his best performance as a run blocker on the season. So, you know, again, not ideal. I know he gave up. I know Jones gave up one sack, got a holding penalty, but I didn't think he was awful. And so again, you know, we're picking and choosing here, because it wasn't again a great performance, but you had some ideas. And man, I hate the injury.
It was
for Zach Allen. I mean, did he break his hand on the pass, or was it later on?
I don't know when it was, but we just finished. Like, he's been healthy this year, and he's been like, if you look at statistically, I know Jordan Schultz put that out there, but he's been, as an interior defensive lineman, there are he has been one of the most productive across the board when it comes to overall pressures down. He's got 5.5 sacks. I think he's got 18 or 19 quarterback hits. He got the 7 tip passes. He's been a monster. This is the player that the Cardinals envisioned when they drafted the first pick in the third round back in 2019. And now to get injured. That game was stupid, by the way. The game was absolutely stupid because then you saw Devontae Parker got hurt for the Pats. You got Ramondre Stevenson got hurt as well. Kyler goes down. Marco Wilson goes down. Zach Allen goes down. That game was stupid, for lack of a better word, to the amount of injuries. And it was comically, it was not laugh because it's funny, because it's laugh so you don't freaking cry with how things went in that game.
Yeah, it's just tough, man. And so, you know, and we do these five questions with the enemies thing every week. And one of the things that they always ask is about, you know, a guy that's playing better than you're expecting, blah, blah, blah. And I always mention like the corners, because I don't think our corners get enough recognition for how well they play, despite the impossibilities that they face. And what I mean by that is, in this game, how many passes did the Patriots throw? Sorry, I'm looking real quick. On 39 pass attempts, 39, the Cardinals got pressure 7 times.
Jeez.
Which is abysmal. I mean, legitimately abysmal. And I'm not, you know, not to beat a dead horse or kick a guy when they're down or anything like that, but like that's so bad. And they don't play great by any means, and I don't want people to think I'm saying that. With the lack of pass rush, it could be so much worse.
Right? The corners haven't been the problem. Byron's had a fantastic year. Antonio Hamilton's played well when he's played.
Marco gets hurt yesterday too, right? Because why not just like add salt to the wound?
Let's just keep doing it. Yeah, keep doing it. But and even Christian Matthew getting some playing time looked good. And so the corners, and I think part of it is Vance Joseph has been protected the corners in many ways with the schematically. But let's be honest, that the quarterbacks have not been the problem this year, and they have had just bad thing after bad thing happen. Like, first the Jeff Gladney silently tragically dies. Antonio Hamilton, the best camp of his career, has the burns. Byron Murphy's playing well. Then he gets the back injury. Trayvon Mullen, they trade for Trayvon Mullen. He's injured for the first half of the year. It's been, honestly, it's been ridiculous, everything that does. And so, yeah. Coming up next on the Rise Up Sea Red Podcast, the best of Cardinals talk on the web. Let's kind of discuss, is there anything left to look forward to for the rest of the season? 4 games left. What are Cardinals fans going to do now? That's coming up next on Rise Up Sea Red. We're back on the Rise Up Sea Red Podcast, the best hour of Cardinals talk on the web. The Cardinals are now 4-9. They haven't been technically eliminated from the postseason contention, from playoff contention. It's coming. They know they're only mathematically in it still. The best they can do is 8-9 if they say win four straight games. There's no more Kyler Murray, so you can't really think, okay, well, let's see how the offense looks down the stretch. So now you've got what to look forward to. What, Seth, tell us, what is there for Cardinals fans to look forward to for the rest of the year? Especially now, since the people have been hoping, maybe it'll get bad enough, they'll fire everybody. I don't think they're firing anybody now.
No, I mean, the Texans cut Eno Benjamin, so they could bring him back, I guess, right? That would probably
that
make
would be
fans
so weird.
Happy.
Oh my gosh.
I mean, hopefully Allen's not out for the year. He's already out. They've already ruled him out for the Broncos game, I believe, correct?
Yes. Cliff said he doesn't think he's gonna play that, which means he's out that game.
So, you know, so MyJay and Cam both have been rushing the passer as well. Cam caused the interception. My Jay's been giving them a little juice off the edge. So you've got that if Zach's gone, obviously, for the rest of the year, which is important because right now they're probably going to end up picking in the top 5 to 6. And so you're going to have a chance to draft guys that could impact the pass rush. So that's where you start. Obviously, Josh Jones and Trey McBride on offense continue to be people that you want to see develop. I know they just re-signed DJ Humphreys, but maybe that's trade fodder in the offseason. I don't know what his contract looks like if they cut him. I have no idea. So, but those are, you know, obviously two big pieces that you want to see continue to grow. From there,
Zaven. I mean, watch Zaven's growth. He's been fantastic this year.
Yeah, Zaven's growth. Christian Matthew didn't look bad yesterday, and his limited brief time in coverage wasn't terrible, which is nice to see.
There's a pocket of fans that's wanted to see Colt McCoy as the starter, right?
Yeah, I mean,
they got their chance now.
Well, and
I don't look forward to that. Now, other than the fact that it's hard not to root for Colt McCoy because of the type of human being, the type of professional that he is. But, you know, am I looking forward to watching him play football? No, knowing that what's likely going to happen is he's going to get hurt.
I know.
And we're going to see Trace McSorley or Carson Strong.
Right.
Oh, my gosh. This the end of this season is...
And that's what the hard part is that, you know, like I said, you are hopeful that you go into the end of the season, you look at things and you go, hey, this is how we end things, right? And this is what you look forward to. And then that happens and now it like takes away a lot of things because like we talked about, injuries, not just Kyler, but mostly Kyler, obviously. But like the Zach Allen injury, the Byron Murphy injury that's been ongoing. All of these things start to add up because now all of a sudden you don't have things to look forward to because you don't have young guys that are playing at a high level that you're like, hey, because especially Murphy and Allen, think about it. Like those guys both need contract extensions.
Yep.
And so now it's like, do you extend guys that played really well but couldn't stay healthy? And because I can promise you, and I don't mean this in the way it's going to sound, a bad team's going to give them a big deal. Like a team like the Texans are going to go, well, Byron Murphy played out of his mind while he was healthy. I'm sure there's never been a guy that you know, got over a bad back, right? They always get over that. And so here's 5 years, you know, $80 million. And then the Cardinals go, we can't give them $16 million a year. So, you know, you let them walk because the alternative is to match an insane thing. And then he re-injures the back and then you're like, crap. So that's the thing is like, you wanted to see these guys finish the year. So at least you knew like, hey, let's extend this guy. Hey, let's let this guy go. Let's get a third round comp pick and kind of move on from there. And that's just, it's gone now. And like I said, it's not just Kyler. Like you wanted to see this offense and see like, hey, do you keep DeAndre Hopkins and Marquise Brown? Like, are those bills that we need to pay to make sure that they stay together? And now that doesn't matter. And I guess you can look at it and say, hey, if Colt's working well with them, then imagine Kyler. But at the same time, you can't run the same type of offense because you don't have the ability to push the ball down the field. Because, I mean, between the offensive line and Colt's arm strength, it's just not, you know, it doesn't happen as often.
Yeah, it's interesting about that. You remember last year in his starts? He's lost something off his arm this year.
Well, and that's just
because last year, I will remember we discussed how surprising his ability to push the ball down the field was when he played.
But they were able to take shots in games, and now it's almost like they're daring him to take a shot.
Yeah.
Right? They're like, and like I said, a lot of it isn't Colt's fault. Like you said, the arm is obviously not what it was, but it, like I said yesterday, if you're down 14 with less than 20 minutes left in the game,
they're incapable of doing that, because the only way that they can, like with Kyler, you've got some big play capability. Colts, it's like the Patriots and Mac Jones right now.
Right. Well, and he can't avoid the pressure. I mean, there was a couple times yesterday that you were like, and it's just because we've become spoiled by it, but you're like, oh, Kyler could have gotten out of that, but that doesn't work for Cliff and that, or for Colt. And that's not Colt's fault. 100%. It's not on Colt, but that's the thing is like, so that's why everything has to be short of the sticks anyways. And then because you're getting pressured with four or five, and they're able to drop six or seven religiously because you can't protect long enough for them to develop. So even yesterday, how many times did James Conner not even get his head around because Colt's having to throw the ball so quickly? Like that's a check. That's a 2-3 yard check down. Jeez. And you can't even get the ball there, or the running back can't even get in the route quick enough because the quarterback's getting pressured so much. And again, it's not on Colt, but that's just the reality of who he is as a player in that situation, because they're just going to pin their ears back and come, and they're going to dare him to make a play. And it's physically not what he does. And so unless they're playing from ahead, which was what was so disappointing about the D-hop fumble yesterday, right? Because that put him in a position where they couldn't play from ahead anymore, especially when you were getting the performance Connor was putting on where he's running for 7 yards a carry. It just created this win, or, you know, this cascade of errors. And then all of a sudden, you know, it was over before it started.
Yeah. Yeah. Coming up next on the Rise Up Secret Podcast, Bashar of Cardinals Talk on the web. Let's move on to the final part of our show, where we get to talk about a game that the Cardinals might be their last winnable game on the schedule. They play the Denver Broncos, who are as terrible as the Cardinals this year. Let's preview that game coming next on Rise Up Sea Red. We're back on the Rise Up Sea Red podcast, Special of Cardinals talking with the Cardinals on the road in Denver. This was going to be like the Cardinals weren't going to be able to avoid Russell Wilson, only they might have avoided Russell Wilson, because in the Broncos 34-28 loss to the Kansas City Chiefs, Russell Wilson got knocked out, putting in doubt his availability in week 15. Now with Kyler Murray out, it looks like we may be looking at a game featuring Colt McCoy and Brett Rypien, which is what everyone was looking forward to in this matchup.
I've been waiting all year.
And so Broncos are 3-10, Cardinals are 4-9. The Broncos offensively can't do anything. I think Russell Wilson, what does he have, 11 touchdown passes? And that's after having three against the Chiefs. And no, I don't know how many of you use Tick. There isn't. It comes up on my For You page talking about the competition between Wilson and his touchdown passes and the number of bathrooms in his home. It's week 15. And there are more bathrooms in Russell Wilson's home than he has touchdown passes this season. He has 12 bathrooms in his home. He has 11 touchdown passes this season. And it's just, yeah, this has been, you know, for all the mistakes that there have been with the Cardinals this year, equally disappointing is the addition of Russell Wilson to Denver, because they had a team that you felt like the only thing they were missing was a star quarterback. And then they got a star quarterback in Russell Wilson, and Russell Wilson has had an abysmal year. Honestly, the season he has had is akin to the season that Kyler Murray has had. He's been unremarkable. He's looked lost, and now they're 3-10. They have a very good defense, and so they're in games most of the time. And it simply is, they have no ability to put pressure on opposing defenses.
I've never, and I genuinely mean this, I've never seen a team that gives up less than 20 points per game that averages less than they give up. Like, typically, if you give up, you know, like 29 points per game, like the Cardinals, you don't score as much, right? But I've never seen a team that gives up 18 points per game not be able to score more points than they give up. This team averages less than 15 points per game. Less than 15, which is absurd when you think about the NFL.
The NFL is built scoring points. I will say this year is different. Scoring is down. Defenses are strategically making different decisions to slow scoring. But oh my gosh, like let's look at the point totals that they've had. 16, 16, 11. There's a 9, 16, 9, 10, 16, 10, 9. So they've had three games where they've cracked 20 points this season, just three. And in their season high this last week, 28 points, they also happened to give up the most points and the most yards that they've given up all season, giving up 431 yards to the Chiefs. They put up 34 points on them. And so, yeah, they've lost five straight games and nine of their last 10. This was a Broncos team that was 2-1 at one point, and now they are 3-10. They've lost three times in overtime. They have only one loss by double digits this year, only one loss by more than, so two losses by more, okay, they've got three losses that are by more than 6 points this season. And so defensively, they are number four in the league in points allowed, and they are seventh in yards allowed. So this is a top 10 defense with an absolute bottom feeder offense, and they are still doing it. And here's the thing. The Cardinals with Kyler Murray, if they had a semblance of the offensive threat that they had against the Chargers, I don't think the Denver had a chance. But now, I don't know. I have no trust in the offense right now, and Denver is good, is fairly average against the run this season. And here's the thing, if they get a lead at all, that slides out, because they are seventh in the league in pass defense this year. They will just eat the Cardinals alive.
Yeah, and that's the problem, right? Like, you've got a team in the Cardinals who has to play from in front, and a team in the Broncos that, if they get out in front, are not going to relinquish a lead. It's crazy to look at this team, because they've only scored more than 20 points three times. You mentioned it. Until last week, they hadn't scored 20 points since October 30th. So the entire month of November, their total points were 10, 16, and 10. They scored 36 points in a month. And then they came back and scored 9 points in their first game in December. So like you said, this is just a bad offense, man. Nathaniel Hackett's been in a bad position, and you know, a lot of it's been Russ.
Yeah, Russ. And, I don't know. Like this, I don't know if I've seen another quarterback go from great to terrible so quickly.
And so the question becomes, you know, if it is Brett Rypien, does he give him more? Well, he's been 52% completion percentage, one touchdown, two interceptions.
4.5 yards per attempt.
Yeah, and so it's just, I mean, remember, it can always get worse. And as Cardinals fans, we just figured that out. It's going to be really interesting because, you know, they cut Melvin Gordon. They're playing 32-year-old Latavius Murray. Obviously, Javonte Williams got hurt early in the season. Like, they've got a stud, young stud, and Jerry Jeudy at receiver who's playing well. I think Cortland Sutton's out as well in this game, if I remember correctly. And then their young tight end's been playing really well since he got back from injury, and Greg Dulcich. But, yeah, they're just, I mean, they have less weapons than the Cardinals, and they have a worse offense, but they have a much, much better defense than the Cardinals. So it's just going to be, you know, like you said, if they can get out in front, there's a legitimate chance that they can win this game. And like you said, it would be the last game they probably have the best chance to win. Now, I mean, we might see with Atlanta in a couple of weeks now that they're starting Desmond Ridder and Marcus Mariota left the team. I don't know what's going on there, but you know, when you look at it, this could be the last best chance to win a game. And so you better come with it, because you don't want to see how that ends up if you miss this opportunity, because you could be talking about 4-13.
And ugh.
And by the way, I don't even think it's fair that we have to pick this game.
No, I can't. Like, what are we going to do? These are two terrible teams with their backup quarterbacks. The offense, this is going to be an unwatchable game. It's going to be unwatchable. I'm certain of it. And
I'm so excited to work on Sunday.
I'm like, if there's one thing I can take solace in, it's not a home game. I'm sitting on my couch this time.
Yeah, and that's what it'll be. I mean, for you, it's a little more difficult because you don't drink, and so that's usually an easy way to get through this game. But yeah, I mean, that's just the reality, man. It's a tough game, and it's, you know, it's one of those situations where it's a tough game too because the other team's really bad as well, and so the reality becomes, if your team doesn't play well and the other team plays well, it's tough to watch. Whereas at least if both teams are playing poorly, you're like, well, at least both teams are awful. but if your team if your team's worse than the 3-win team, you're like, oh man, and that just makes it even worse. So let's hope for a quick lead, and then the Cardinals go from there,
hopefully. But no, we're not making a prediction on this game because this game is going to be awful. Hey, I think has the season broken us? Has the season broken me? I think it has. I think the season has broken me. Now, do am I saying fire everyone? Why fire anybody at this point? Why?
Yeah. Well, and that's the thing is, like I said, I would love to get people's feedback on why a coach would be interested in this job with what's going on, and you know, like I said, the uncertainty,
and they're gonna have a top five pick, and it's still gonna be Steve Keim making the pick. So hey Cardinals fans, let's look forward to 2024 when they when they finally clean house.
or they do the right thing and they're competitive next year, and when Kyler comes back, you can be excited again.
Maybe. But we're not excited right now. We'll be back next week. Seth will not be on the show. I'll line up. I'll see who else can come on the show. Otherwise, it might just be me. I don't know.
Yeah, we might have to pay somebody to get on this show, man. This is getting tough.
All right, this wraps up this edition of the Rise of Sea Red Podcast, the best hour of Cardinals talking about. This is episode 385. That's Seth Cox. I'm Jess Root. Sorry you guys are Cardinals fans. I apologize on our end. We wish it would be better. I wish we could be happier because the season, we're finally broken. We'll be back again next week. Thanks for listening as always.
Thanks for listening to the latest edition of the Rise Up Sea Red Podcast. Listen to previous episodes and subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher Radio, Audioboom, or many other podcast platforms so shows are delivered directly to your mobile device. Please give the show a 5-star rating and always support the sponsors who support the show. We'll be back soon for the best hour of Cardinals talk on the web. Rise up, Red Sea, be Red Sea Red, and of course, rise up, Sea Red.
Rise up! Team Red! Rise!